الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، يقول في mentioned رحمه الله تعالى السادسة والتسعون the 96th issue from the affairs of الجاهلية. يسأل رحمه الله الافتخار بولاية البيت، فذمهم الله بقوله مستكبرين به سامرا تهجرون. And he mentioned رحمه الله السابعة والتسعون and the 97th issue from the affairs of الجاهلية، الافتخار بكونهم ذرية الأنبياء، فأتى الله بقوله تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت. الآية meaning until the end of the verse. So the author mentioned the 96th issue from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah, and that is that they would brag and boast about the fact that they're the caretakers of the house of Allah. They would brag and boast about this, and in turn likewise consider others under them or lesser than them and lower than them and consider themselves higher. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rebuked them in his statement, tabaraka wa ta'ala, mustakbirina bihi samiran tahjurun. They bragged and boasted about the fact that they're the caretakers of the house of Allah, and that they were Quraysh. And also the next point here as well, that they're from the family or the lineage of the prophets. They bragged and boasted that they were the caretakers of the house of Allah, of the Kaaba. So Allah rebuked them in his statement, mustakbirina bihi samiran tahjurun. And pride, Quraysh, they used to be arrogant and proud, claiming that they were the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because they're in charge of the Kaaba. They talk evil about it by night. I mean, this is what they claimed, their high status, because they're the guardians and caretakers of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. But at the same time, they would belittle the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and belie the Qur'an. And this was from their ways. The author mentioned the 97th affairs, that they would boast, also bragging and boasting about the condition, about the fact that they were from the offspring or the lineage of the prophets. And likewise, Allah revealed about them, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That was a nation that has passed. They shall receive the reward of what they have earned, and you likewise of what you have earned. You will not be asked about what they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified these affairs in his book, that they would brag and boast about their lineage, or brag and boast about their position in society. But all of this will not bring them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without sincere and true faith, without obedience and piety. And if a person were to be sincere and truthful, they will realize that a caretaker of the house, looking after the Kaaba and the lifestyle, this is the greatest means of drawing near to Allah, and the action of worship that is pleasing to Allah. And definitely it's not from noble manners and good conduct that a person will brag about his actions of worship and his servitude and devotion that he puts forward for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of being humble, and instead of realizing the favor and blessing of Allah upon them, rather than belie that and deny that, and they consider it a blessing or a favor for themselves, and along with that, they're denying the Prophet of Allah and the Book of Allah and the revelation that was revealed. Allah mentioned in the verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ كَانَتْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ تَنْكِسُونَ مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ سَامِرًا تَهْجُرُونَ. That indeed my verses used to be recited to you, but you used to turn back on your heels, denying them and refusing them, with hating, having hatred to listen to the verses recited. And in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in pride, the Quraysh, the pagans, the polytheists of Mecca, they used to feel proud that they were the dwellers of Mecca and the caretakers of the sanctuary. And they would speak evil about the Quran and about the Prophet at night time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he's truthful. So had they been sincere in their taking care of the Kaaba, then they would have been humble, and they would have been grateful, and they would have been thankful, they would have followed the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah likewise, he reprimanded them in another verse in his book, in Surah At-Tawbah, أَجَعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِّ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Do you consider the providing of drinking water? Do you consider providing drinking water for the pilgrims and taking care of Masjid al-Haram, maintaining it and the likes of this? Do you consider this to be equal in value with Allah as those who believe in Allah in the last day and strive and fight in the cause of Allah? They are not equal before Allah. They're not equal before Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah, he does not guide those people who are wrongdoers and oppressors, those who work injustice. And the worst of all injustice, أعظم وأظلم الشرك بالله عز وجل. The greatest injustice and oppression is to commit shirk and to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which is specific to him from his rights of servitude and worship and devotion, from his rights and his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, his rights and his worship and authority and command subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if a person here to do outward deeds that were lofty and high, like taking care of the Kaaba and maintaining the house of Allah, if he was not truthful and sincere with regards to that, he will never benefit him. If he's not truthful and sincere with regards to that, it will never benefit him. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, there was a man, his name was Abdullah bin Judayn, and he used to be very generous. He used to be very kind, and he used to look after the orphan and the poor and the likes like this. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked about that generosity and that charity. He died, and before believing, and the Prophet, whenever he was asked about that, he mentioned that he's in the fire. ما قال يوما قلت ربي فيلي ذنبي يوم الدين ربي فيلي خطيئتي يوم الدين. He never said one day in his life, oh my Lord. He never said one day in his life, oh my Lord, forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. Forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. So that charity and that generosity will not benefit him. So likewise, even Quraysh themselves, it was known the honor that they would give to the pilgrims. Even some of them in the time of Hajj, the season for the pilgrims, they would leave their homes. They would vacate their homes and they would go up into the mountains. They would leave their homes for the pilgrims and the likes like this, and they would serve them, and they would bring them water, they would look after them and take care of them, so on and so forth. Honoring the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they committed shirk amongst other ills and evils, from belying and denying the prophets and messengers, none of these affairs that the author is mentioning now, rahimahullah ta'ala. So again, if a person, he's not sincere and truthful, does not strive against his soul to be obedient to Allah, then whatever he has from lineage, whatever he has from status in society, will not benefit him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. That whoever his deeds slowed him down, or his deeds kept him back, slowed him down, then his lineage will not bring him forward. As for a person, he was a believer, and along with his faith, he will strive hard to obey Allah Azza wa Jalla in public and in private. And then on top of that, he has a nice lineage, or a good background, or he's from a good family, or he has position and status in society. And this is light upon light, alhamdulillah. As for relying on these affairs alone, without sincere faith, without righteous deeds, then they will not benefit. So likewise, whenever they claimed that he had a higher lofty status, they would brag about the fact that they're from the lineage of the prophets and messengers. And this is the way of Quraysh specifically. And they ascribe to the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And likewise, the Jews as well, they ascribe to the lineage of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. So they would use this to have leverage, and they believed that they were better than others because of this simple fact. But that is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified, this is a beautiful means of refuting them. Allah, he said about them, about the previous prophets, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبَتْ. This is a nation that has receded. And those prophets and messengers and the nations that follow them, and likewise those who oppose them, these people, they have fasted and gone. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبَتْ. They will have what they had earned. Those who believe and work righteous deeds, they will have that which they earned with Allah Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will have that which they earned with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and those who belied and disbelieved, or those who transgressed and rebelled against the commands of Allah and His messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam, then likewise they will have what they had earned. They had earned. This is a nation that Allah has already passed, and you likewise will have what you earned. So if they did good, that was for their own souls, and if you do good, that's for your own soul. So that relationship will not benefit you if you do not work like the way they worked. If you do not believe and strive on the path that they were upon, then the fact that you're related to them by blood or in lineage, this will not benefit. This will not benefit. You will not be asked about what they used to do. Really, you want to be asked about what you used to do. So therefore, an inscription to the lineage in this manner will not benefit. Allah, He mentioned the likes of this in a number of verses. Allah, He says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَقَالَتَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ وَقَالَتَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. And the Jews and the Christians, both of them, they say, any claiming that we're the children of Allah, and we're the sons of Allah, meaning that we're the beloved of Allah, we're the children of Allah and His beloved ones, meaning we're the true believers. Allah, He loves us. We're the people of paradise. We're the people of paradise. قَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. They said likewise that no one went to paradise except for the one who's a Jew or a Christian. Except for a Jew or a Christian. Allah refuted them likewise. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. This is their false hopes. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah, He said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring your evidence and proof if you're truthful. In these verses here, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. And the Jews and Christians, they say, claiming that they are the children of Allah and His beloved ones. قُلْ فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why does Allah punish you for your sins? Then why does Allah punish you for your sins? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Brother, you are human beings from those whom Allah has created. He forgives whom He wills, and He punishes whom He wills. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. And to Him alone is the return, in the return of all mankind for accountability and reckoning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah. This is the point here of the author, that they will brag and boast. They'll brag and boast about their lineage, or they will brag and boast about their position in society. And this is not from the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, continuing, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, al-98, al-iftikhar bis-sana'i' ka fi'li ahli ar-rihlatayn ala ahli al-harth. And likewise, the 98th affair from the affairs of Jahiliyyah, that they will boast and brag about their traits. They will boast and brag about their traits, just as the merchants who used to take the two trips, and meaning Quraysh, that they used to take the two trips, one to Yemen in the winter and one to Asham in the summer. In the summer, they would take those trips as merchants and businessmen. And if they brag and boast about that, they consider themselves better than the farmers. So this is from the ways of the people of Jahiliyyah. Yani the Quraysh, they were tujjar. They would have prosperous business, and they were known for that. They had prosperous business, and they're known for that. And they bragged and boasted with regards to that, and considered others lower than them. Those who had different trades or professions that were not of theirs, then they would belittle them, consider them lowly because of that. So this is something that continues to this day. Somebody who maybe have a particular profession, or a particular occupation, or a degree, or a diploma in a particular issue or field, and then he will look down at others who are not on that level, or not on that status, and the likes of this, and he'll belittle them. Oh, you do this and you do that. Oh, he's a baker. He says, I do technology. I do this. I do that. Or I'm a salesman. I have this degree and that degree. And so forth, making it the kathar. I need the kathar fi amwal dunya wa yadhbi la, and bragging and boasting about a person's status and what he has that others they do not have. So all of this is from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah, bragging and boasting and the likes, especially with regards to the worldly affairs. This is what they're bragging and boasting about. Even some of these issues here, they're religious, like taking care of the Kaaba, and they brag and boast about that. Wa yadhbi la, likewise having a lofty lineage back to the prophets and messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the best of mankind, bragging and boasting about that, yet not doing anything in application. This is a foul and lowly way from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah, from the ways of Al-Jahiliyyah. He says, rahimahullah, it says, the 99th issue from the affairs of Al-Jahiliyyah, alamat dunya fi qulubihim. The way that he arranges things is coming to conclusions and making very important points. Alamat dunya fi qulubihim, how great the worldly life is in their hearts, and how great the dunya has become in their hearts. فَقَوْلِهِمْ لَوْلَا نُزِلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Like the statement that they made, why was the Qur'an not revealed to a great man from one of the two villages? Why was the Qur'an not revealed to a great man from one of the two villages? And meaning they are making suggestions, and if he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why is he not well known? Why is he not wealthy? Why does he not have a lot of children? Why does he not have a lot of status? Shouldn't the one who's going to receive such high and lofty status of prophethood and messengership and be a leader for mankind be somebody who has authority and command and known for his lofty status in society and the likes like this? Why was the Quran, if the Quran is true, if it's really a revelation from Allah, why was he chosen? This is what they're saying. Why not a great man from the two villages? And why not a great man from Mecca or a great man from Taif? These are the two villages that are mentioned there. And the great man that they are suggesting from Mecca was Al-Walid ibn Mughira. He's the one whom Allah addressed in Surah Al-Mudaffir. And Allah said about him that he will land him in the Hellfire. He's the one who claimed that the Quran was the speech of a man, and Allah mentioned about him what he mentioned. And they are suggesting that if his prophethood that is being discussed, then it should be in his hand. It should be in his hand, or another great man likewise that they considered great because of his status in the worldly affair and in society, so on and so forth, in his position with regards to having lots of children, a man from Taif. And that was Urwa ibn Mas'ud. It's been mentioned others as well, but this is the case. The dunya has taken such a great place in the heart, they can't imagine that somebody would receive revelation except somebody from the worldly affair, somebody who has great status and great rank, great position, lots of children, lots of wealth, and the likes like this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a humble man, and his situation was known. How could they go to him? He was an orphan. He didn't even have a father, no one to look after him or to care for him, so on and so forth. They know who he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. But Allah, He knows best where the message should be, and who is pure, and who is good, and who is rightful for this guidance and for this light. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who chooses and selects, and it's not left up to the people. This is what the author is leading to now, Ami'ah, number 100, the 100th issue from the issues of al-Jahiliyyah. Attahakumu ala Allahi kama qala fi al-ayah. Attahakumu ala Allahi kama qala fi al-ayah. Attahakum yani al-iqtirah, making suggestions. And meaning thinking that this is the wrong decision, the wrong choice, belittling the choice of selecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and making a better suggestion in their minds. So this is what is mentioned in this verse here. Why is the Quran not sent down to some great man of the two towns? Any from Mecca or Taif? Why to this orphan? Why to this man here who does not have lots of wealth and children and status amongst us? So this is their attahakum, yani meaning that they believe that if that was truly revelation, then it's not in the proper place. And Allah, He didn't judge or decree the proper decision. And this is very similar to those who resemble the people of Jahiliyyah, even from those who falsely, even from those who ascribe to this ummah, from the Rafilah, from the filthy Rafilah. And they claim that Jibreel, he betrayed the trust. And instead of going to Ali, he went to to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. Al-Amin is Aruh al-Amin, the trustworthy soul. They say Khan al-Amin, the Amin, Jibreel, he betrayed the trust. He betrayed the trust. Even the idea of this happening or even occurring at the hand of an angel, not to mention the best and most noble angel that has no free will. That has no free will already is falsehood. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention that's what they're saying whenever they do their patty cake. Whenever they do their patty cake, when they make salam, they patty cake, and then they make salam. No patty cake, right? That's American style. Back in the day. And piping their head like this, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. That's what they're saying. Jibreel, he betrayed. Waliyadubillah, he betrayed the trust. And he violated the trust. And he betrayed the amanah. And he gave the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instead of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this is a foul way. This is a foul way. This is a lowly way. Waliyadubillah, this is a lowly way. Waliyadubillah, from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah. From the ways of al-Jahiliyyah. The author, he says, al-Hadiyatu ba'da al-Miyyah. The 101st issue from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah is dira'u al-fuqara. Fa'atahum biqawlihi wa la tatrud alladhina yad'una rabbahum bil-ghadati wal-'ashi. Yuriduna wajaha. Yuriduna wajaha. So the 101st issue from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah is that they belittle the poor. They belittle and look down upon the poor, and they will consider them to be insignificant. They will consider them to be insignificant. You need to belittle the poor people, and to consider them insignificant, this is from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came, the statement of Allah azza wa jalla that was revealed to him, وَلَا تَتْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجَهَا. And do not cast away those who call on their Lord in the morning and in the evening, seeking his face, meaning sincere and truthful in their call, in supplication, in their devotion, in their worship. So we have seen previously that has been narrated from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, that was him and a group of others, around six of them, that were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Bilal, and others from those who were poor, and they were not known for having a high status in the society, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as well, and some others, and the likes. And this verse was revealed with regards to six of them. But also it's known there are others, I forget if it was Sahib that was along with him or not, Sahib al-Rumi, but it's known that they were from the first to accept Islam, and that they were poor, many of them. They were poor, or they were slaves, or they were individuals that had an allegiance or an alliance with Quraysh, and they did not have a lineage or background or direct tie to them. They had other ways that they had come into the society, so they're considered lowly. They're poor, or their status is not known or high, so they would look down upon them and belittle them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had opportunity to call some of the leaders of Quraysh, but they're so proud and arrogant and boastful that they would not sit and listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while those poor and lowly individuals and eyes were around them in the same gathering. So they suggested for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get rid of them, to tell them to leave or to give them a private gathering. And this is something that in the narration of this mission that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was thinking of the suggestion and thinking that maybe it's in the best interest to give them a private gathering in order to call them. But Allah, he revealed this verse before he was able to act. And the verse is ordering the Prophet, وَلَا تَتْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Do not cast them away, do not turn them away and get rid of them or remove them from your company, those who call on their Lord in the morning and in the evening seeking his face. Any meaning that they are truthful, and these you do not cast them away, whether you give them attention and you give them care and concern. So the point is here from the author is that from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah is to belittle the poor. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have love for the poor, and he used to look after the poor and the needy and take care of them. And many times the good that comes to the society and to the people is from the poor and their supplication that is sincere and truthful, and calling on Allah azza wa jalla and their devotion and servitude. So in any case, everyone he's tried in this life, either with poverty or with wealth and prosperity, or with wealth and prosperity. All of them bear a test and all of them bear a trial. So each one he has a particular action of servitude to establish in that state. So one, he will not belittle or put down the poor and the destitute, rather he will help them, those who are seeking help. Those who are seeking help, any those who need help and they are truthful and sincere. That's what we see sometimes in the society of people, addicted to drugs and taking advantage of the people and lying, so on and so forth, and making signs saying this and saying that, and really they just want to buy alcohol or marijuana or other drugs, then this is not something to consider. And Allah knows best. And then after this, the author, he says, الثانية بعد أمية, the 102nd issue. رميهم أتباع رسلي بعدم الإخلاص وطالب الدنيا فأجابهم بقولهم ما عليك من حسابهم من شيء الآية وأنفالها. So he mentions the 102nd issue. He says, رحمه الله, that they accused the followers of the messengers to be insincere. And they're only seeking worldly status and rank. They're not following it because they truly believe. Rather, they have ulterior motives. And this is the only reason why they have taken the position that they have taken. They don't truly believe. Rather, they want something from the dunya. So this is what they did. This is from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah, to poke at people's intentions and to try to blame people for their intention and say so and so is not sincere. So on and so forth. This is from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah. So this verse here that was revealed about that is part of the verse that has preceded. Ma'alaykum min hisabihim min shay. Allah revealed about that. Ma'alaykum min hisabihim min shay. There's no you have no concern for the reckoning. Any meaning that what is in their hearts is with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and that they're not going to be held accountable for what you do, and you're not going to be held accountable for what they do. Rather, if they're sincere, then that will be with Allah Azza wa Jalla. If they're insincere, then likewise Allah Azza wa Jalla into account. وما عليك من حسابهم من شيء وما من حسابك عليهم من شيء فتطردهم فتكون من الظالمين. So if you were to cast them away, whenever it's not upon you to dig into their hearts and to their intentions, rather what's upon you is to accept what you see from them and from their conduct and from their manners and their statements and their actions. This is what you accept. And if you were to cast them away based upon this claim with no evidence, then you'll be from the oppressors. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was forbade from that, and likewise forbade from casting them away. And Allah testified for them. يريدون وجهه, that they're sincere. Allah testified for them. ولا تعبد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. يعني meaning that they're sincere. Meaning that they're sincere. They're calling on Allah and they're supplicating to Him and remembering Him in servitude and devotion in the morning and the evening. And at all times. And Allah clarified that they were sincere. Allah clarified for them that which is in their hearts is truthful. يريدون وجهه. They're seeking the face of Allah عز وجل. So all of this is in refutation of these affairs. But no doubt the sincere and those who are truthful in their faith and their religion, their traits that they're known by, conduct, the manners that is seen from them, that indicates their truthfulness. And plus Allah aids those who are sincere. And He puts in the heart of the people love for them because of their sincerity and their truthfulness. What is the verse in Surah Maryam? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتُ يَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. Those who believe sincerely and they work righteous deeds, Allah will place love for them, meaning in the hearts of the people. The people will love them. But likewise, on the other hand, there's also signs of signs of insincerity, and signs of hypocrisy, and signs of weak faith, and signs of bad intentions, and signs indicating contrary to the proper and the good way. So we do not take people to account for what is in their hearts. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla, but the way that we deal with people is based upon what we see from them and what they display. And this has been clarified from Umar radiallahu anhu. He mentioned, Yani Sahih Bukhari, that before they used to take people to account with revelation, meaning that if something happened and they were not sure what to do with regards to an individual, revelation would come and clarify him. Clarify that he's either honest and truthful, or clarify that he's a liar and moving with deception. A liar moving with deception. Revelation would come. And they accused Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was free from that. They accused these people here of being insincere, and they were free from it. And others likewise who claim to be believers, but the revelation was revealed about them, and they were known, they were exposed. So that's the way, or the case in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the death of the Prophet, the revelation ceased. So Umar, he says, so now we take people to account what they show to us. If they show good to us, then we accept it from them and we bring them close, and we leave what's in their hearts to Allah. But if they show evil to us, we see evil from them, we do not believe them, and we do not bring them close. And even if somebody says, oh, he's good and he's this and he's that, he's good and he's this and he's that. So this is the way to deal with the people, not from the ways of Jahiliyyah. The ways of Jahiliyyah is to go to extremes on both ways, either going to extremes on one hand or going to extremes on the other end, waliyadibillah, having allegiance for the sake of one's desires and whims, having allegiance, praising people and liking them, or raising them for worldly gains and goals, and the likes like this. This is from the Fawai. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, al-thalitha ba'da al-mi'ah, the 103rd issue from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah, al-kufru bil-malaika, wal-rabi'ah ba'da al-mi'ah, and the 104th affair from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah, al-kufru bil-rusul, wal-khamisa ba'da al-mi'ah, the 105th, al-kufru bil-kutubi, wal-sadisa ba'da al-mi'ah, al-ya'radu amma ja'a anillah. السابعة بعد المئة الكفر باليوم الآخر الثامنة بعد المئة التكذيب بلقاء الله التاسعة بعد المئة التكذيب ببعض ما أخبرت به الرسل عن يوم الآخر كما في قوله أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه ومنها التكذيب بقوله مالك يوم الدين وقوله لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة وقوله إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. So the author mentioned a number of points here. The 103rd issue, that they disbelieved in the angels. Either they would deny them and deny them in their existence in the first place, or they would disbelieve in them by claiming that they're the daughters of Allah Azza wa Jal. And other false disbelief that they had, or they would be like some of them, or they would have enmity towards some of them, like the Jews had enmity to Jibreel likewise. But yadabillah, such a great resemblance between the Jews and the Rafidah, in so many affairs. Yadabillah. And likewise, the 104th affair is disbelief. They disbelieve in the messengers. Either they would disbelieve in the entirety, they would not believe that Allah sent any messengers, or they would disbelieve in some of them. All of this is considered disbelief. The 105th affair, they disbelieve in the books, and this is based upon that. If they disbelieve in the messengers, then they disbelieve in the revelation that was revealed to them likewise. So a person, even if he believed in some of the messengers, but not in all of them, then he would be considered a disbeliever. Or if a person believed in some of the revelation, but not all of it, then he would be a disbeliever. Even if he denied a letter or a verse, one letter from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this would be disbelief. Likewise, they turn away from learning and accepting that which has come from Allah. Meaning they turn away from the guidance. This is called kufru al-i'rad. And they turn away and they have no care, no concern. They do not want to hear it or learn or listen whatsoever to anything about the revelation or about guidance. They turn away from that in entirety and show no care for learning or concern for following whatsoever. This is from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. The 107th affair is they disbelieve in the last day. And likewise, the 108th affair, they belied the meaning of Allah Azza wa Jalla. 109th affair, they belied some of the things that the messengers have informed about from the last day. And there's some that disbelieved in that in entirety, and they claim that they will not be resurrected, and then وَمَا يُهْلِكُونَ إِلَّا الدَّهْرَ, and nothing destroys except for time, and they belied the resurrection, denied it. Others, they believed in general, but they belied some of the affairs that the prophets and messengers had informed of, or they denied some of that. Like he's mentioning here, they denied the verses of Allah and the meaning of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They denied that they will meet Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and likewise, they belied مالك يوم الدين. Al-jaza al-hisab. They belied and denied the recompense and accountability that they'll be taken to account for their deeds and they'll be judged. Some of them, they belied these affairs. All of this is from denying the messengers and belying Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and disbelieving in the last day. And also they disbelieved in the affair. وَلَا بَيْءٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شِفَاعَةٌ. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the last day, there's no buying or trade. There's no trade or commerce. No trade or commerce. And likewise, no friendship and no intercession. And they belied and denied these affairs. And on the day of resurrection, there's no way to buy one's soul. There's no way to buy his way out. There's no commerce on that day. There's no business on that day. No way to buy oneself out from what he finds himself from hardship and from difficulty and from accountability. And likewise, there's no friend. No friendship will benefit him on that day. Had he not believed. And likewise, no shifa'ah. And shifa'ah ibtida'iyyah. There's no intercession. And he accepts with permission from Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the manner that Allah is pleased with. For those whom Allah is pleased with. The barakah wa ta'ala. So they belied these affairs and they denied them. And also they belied what is found in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Except for those who testify the truth while they know. Meaning that those who, there would not be any intercession. And the intercession will not be accepted except for those who testify the truth. Meaning to the shahada and la ilaha illallah. While they know what they're saying and testifying to. While they know the meaning of what they're saying and testifying to. So this in general is about the pillars of iman. About believing in Allah and that which Allah has ordered us to believe in. So if a person, he disbelieved in these affairs, or in some of these affairs, his creed was not proper and sound, did not bring the minimum requirement for the iman to be straight and upright, then he'll be a disbeliever. So disbelief is not one level, but all of it is disbelief. And some of it is more severe. And the disbelievers, they're promised the anger of Allah and his wrath for those who die in that manner. And likewise, they're promised and guaranteed they'll never leave the hellfire. They'll never come out of the fire, those who die in that manner. Regardless of their disbelief. Allah mentioned in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Oh, you believe in Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the book that was revealed to his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the books, the revelation that was revealed before. And whoever disbelieves in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers and the last day, then indeed he has gone far astray. far astray. So one must learn the pillars of faith, not be like the people of the Jahiliyyah, be ignorant with the very foundation of the religion. Arkan, al-Iman, Imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa yawmin akhir, wa Imanu bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. This is the head of the affair. This is the head of the affair. Al-Imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. One, he must learn this Iman and learn the details of that Iman and establish that in his life and the man requires, and also learn all of the issues that will violate that, that will uproot that, or bring any deficiency or limit to that whatsoever, in order to keep that great favor and blessing of al-Iman pure and clean and strong and firm and beneficial. So one must believe in all of these affairs, and if one disbelieves in any one of them or any aspect, that's an obligation to believe. Oh, you believe in Allah. You have to believe in the manner that is prescribed. You have to believe in the manner that is prescribed, that is clarified, that is legislated, that has come in revelation. That has come in revelation. With regards to believing in the messengers, Allah, he mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These people, they're true disbelievers. The true disbelievers, who are they? These mentioned here in this verse. أُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Indeed, those who disbelieve in Allah and his messengers, and they want to separate, distinguish between Allah and his messengers, and they say, نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. We believe in some of them and disbelieve in others. We believe in Jesus, but we disbelieve in Muhammad. That's what they say. They believe in this one, and they believe in Musa, but they disbelieve in Muhammad and Isa. They believe in Isa, but they disbelieve in Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. All of this is what's being referred to here. All of this is what's being referred to here. وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. They want to take away between that. They want to believe in this one and not that one. They want to believe in this one, the Jews. Why they want to believe in the ones they want to believe in? Going back to what has preceded. Huh? نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. They have the lineage. That's not their lineage. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not from Bani Israel. He's from Dhuriyati Ismail, Ibn Ibrahim and Khalil. You understand that? So they belied him. They belied him out of jealousy. He didn't come from their lineage. He didn't come from their tribe. He's not from their people. Even likewise, Quraysh, there's narrations mentioned about it. About one of them, Abu Jahl, or the likes, they said that they used to compete, Bani Hashim, and the other tribes that compete with each other. So every time they do something, they do something. Every time they bring one, they bring another one. They're trying to one up each other like this, and all of a sudden they came with a prophet. What are we going to do now? But if we affirm that, they will never catch up with him. How are we going to get a prophet? Right? So if we believe that he's a prophet, then that means they beat us. We'll never be able to get a prophet like that. So they disbelieve, knowing he's truthful, knowing he's not a liar, knowing that he's honest, knowing that he never lied to them. Why would he lie on Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But because of arrogance and pride and the likes, this prohibited him from believing. It's prohibited from believing. So they want to believe in some, they want to disbelieve in others. Even if they affirm, but they do not believe and follow, then they will not benefit. So the one who believes in some of the prophets, but not all of them, then he's a وَلَيْكُمْ كَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These are true disbelievers. One should not be deceived. And many of the believers today are deceived. Many of the Muslims today are deceived. They say that the Christians and the Jews are brothers. They are brothers. They are brothers in faith. They say al-Adiyan al-Ibrahimiyya. Al-Adiyan al-Ibrahimiyya. This is from Shahriya. وَيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. What do they say? The Abrahamic faith. The three Abrahamic faiths. What does Allah say about that in his book? ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. So Allah freed Ibrahim from that. He was not a Jew nor a Christian nor a pagan. Rather, he was a Muslim. Somebody upon al-Hanifiyya, alayhi salatu wasalam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the point is that one must believe in all the prophets and Muslims. This is the beauty of the good religion and the upright deen. To believe in all of them. To believe in all of them. To not distinguish from them. This is from the beauty of Islam. Alhamdulillah, we love Jesus, Isa, alayhi salatu. We love Musa, alayhi salam. We love Yaqub, all of them. We love Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So this is from the beauty of Islam and the greatness of the true deen and the haq, that we affirm all of the true prophets and messengers. We believe in all of the books. We believe in the Bible and the Injil. We believe in the Torah. We believe in the Zabur. We believe in all of that. Alhamdulillah, and the proper belief and the proper creed. So from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah, to disbelieve in the angels, the messengers, and the books, and either to disbelieve in them and disregard them entirely, or to have misconceptions and to disbelieve in some of them or some aspects, that's an obligation to believe, to belie them or to deny them. Or the other belie, like one's turning away from the guidance and not learning the deen of Allah, not learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not having any concern for the religion, not wanting to listen to it whatsoever. Even the devil, he makes suggestions for some of them to try to declare themselves innocent from that affair. They say, the more I learn, the more it scares me, and the likes like this. So I don't want to learn the obligations and the prohibitions, so that I won't know, and so that I won't know what's incumbent upon me, so on and so forth. So that they make these excuses and they turn away from the religion and they follow their desires, and this one I help them with Allah subhanahu wa taala. Because seeking knowledge is an aspect of that. That's an obligation for all of us. No one is excused from. Likewise, they belie, deny the day of resurrection. They deny the day of resurrection. Allah mentioned in his book, زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّا يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. The disbelievers, they claim that they will not be resurrected. They claim that they will not be brought back to life. قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي. Say to them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, indeed, I swear by my Lord لَتُبْعَثُنَّ, that you want to be brought back. You want to be resurrected. وَلَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ. You want to be informed of that which you used to do. وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Indeed, that is easy for Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the advice from the most merciful? فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. Therefore, you must believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the light that we have revealed. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah is all aware of what you do. Likewise, they deny the meaning of Allah. They deny the last day. And likewise, they deny the meaning of Allah. Denying the last day, that means to deny anything that we have been informed of, that's been reported authentically from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to the affairs of the unseen that happens at the time of death until the resurrection. To belie or deny that is affirmed. This is from disbelieving in the last day, or disbelieving in the first place, believing that when he lives and he dies and that's it, there's no resurrection. All of this is from disbelieving in the last day. Also belying the meaning of Allah azza wa jalla. Allah mentioned in his book, ولو ترى إذ وقفوا على ربهم قال أليس هذا بالحق. No, and if you just to see, and if you only were to see whenever they are made to stand before their Lord, أليس هذا بالحق, it will be said to them, is this not the truth? They'll be belittled. فسحر هذا أم أنتم لا تبصرون. Is this magic? Whenever they stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're brought back to life and stand before their Creator for accountability. أليس هذا, is this not true now? Is this not a real reality? Is this magic that you're claiming before and the likes? And what would they say? قالوا بلى وربنا. They say, of course, our Lord, it is true. And then Allah, he says, قال فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون. Then taste the punishment because of what you used to disbelieve. قد خسر الذين كذبوا بلقاء الله. Indeed, they have lost. Great losers, those who belie and deny the meaning of Allah. حتى إذا جاءت المساعة بغتة قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها وهم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم ولا ساء ما يزرون. Indeed, they have lost. Those who belie the meaning of Allah. They denied the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla until the hour comes suddenly, and death comes to them suddenly. And what did they say? They said, oh, they have great remorse, they have great regret. They have so much remorse of how they were negligent in this worldly life, and they are bearing their sins on their backs, carrying their burdens. And this is an evil way that they carry and that they burden, evil sins that they carry and that they bear. Allah clarifies, Allah mentioned in his book, and then the worldly life, this worldly life is nothing but joke and play. It's nothing but play and amusement. And the home in the hereafter is better for those who fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, if they only knew. So the true losers, they are those who lose their own souls. They are those who disbelieve in the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They disbelieve in the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Man ahabba liqa Allahi, ahabba Allahu liqa'ah." That whoever loves the meeting of Allah, then Allah loves to meet him. Doesn't mean he loves to die, but he's a believer. He works and he prepares for the meeting of Allah. He is a believer. He works and he prepares for the meeting of Allah. Death is something that is scary and not desired. Not even for the righteous. Rather, it's not even, you're not supposed to hope for death. Whether you hope to have a good life upon obedience. Alhamdulillah. But a believer, he prepares for the meeting of Allah. And he has certainty about that. And he hopes that that meeting will be a good meeting. And that he will have great mercy and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Allah, he will forgive him. And he will love to meet him and shower him with mercy. And whoever despises and dislikes the meeting of Allah, then Allah despises and dislikes to meet him. Likewise, the one who disbelieves and turns away from faith and rejects obedience and rebels against the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this person, no doubt, he's not looking to die. Rather, he hopes to live forever. He hopes to live forever, like what Allah mentioned about the Jews. If you are if Allah loves you so much, قُلْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَالِصَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. So these people, they deny and disbelieve in the meaning of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but it's something that is true, and it's something that the believers, they believe in and they prepare for. They believe in and they prepare for. There are several other issues likewise left, any not many, but we take them inshallah in the class to come. But over the weekend, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we have a short seminar and a small treatise by Sheikh Abdul Razak. It's called Athar al-Fitan. Athar al-Fitan, the effects, the traces, the ills from trials and tribulations. Friday night, Saturday after Fajr, and after Saturday morning and Saturday night, and Sunday morning and Sunday night. Over the weekend, inshallah, short brief dawah. Athar al-Fitan, inshallah, it's a very short book about the ill effects and bad outcomes of getting involved in trials. Tribulations. It's very brief and very, very beneficial. By Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Mahsin. Hafidhahum Allah ta'ala. Inshallah, we read it Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. That was Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.